Good morning. You know, as I have come this morning, as I have sat and observed and have listened and hopefully worshiped with you this morning, I've been intrigued a little bit by how several things have happened that would go along with this lesson. Dwayne's comments, his class goes along well with this lesson. Some of the songs that Ben has sung have gone with that. The reading that Chris had given relates to that, and the comments that Tad made all can relate to what we're discussing this morning. And I'll get to some of those in a moment as we go through this, but I'll also begin with the idea that we found in Chris's reading in Matthew chapter 25. We know that the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man who took a long journey. And when he returned from that journey and he met his servants who had given the talents to, his comments to two of them were, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter you into the joy of your Lord." There's another passage that I'll briefly mention, and that's found in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life." You'll notice that the two passages that I mentioned, all have in common the idea of being faithful. You know, I was here 2 weeks ago for Dwayne's class and realized the topic, I guess. I wasn't here last week, and it wasn't until I got back this week that I kind of connected the idea of faithfulness with this. Now, I'm not giving this talk to try to enhance Dwayne's lessons. I think it will go hand in hand, and hopefully I'm not going to be stepping on his lesson for the future. The reason I'm doing this lesson, I prepared it because this summer I've been asked to be a part of a meeting where I'm asked to give a few lessons and classes. And one of them, the topic was, be faithful no matter the cost. And so that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. And I found it intriguing as far as Dwayne's class. I'm not sure the word faithful is ever mentioned. I know that definitely the principles are there. And I know at least one of the verses that was read, the idea was being faithful. But just keep in mind many of the things that Dwayne said. Keep in mind the reading of Chris. Keep in mind the comments of Tad as well. You know, Tad was talking about when God came down in the form of Jesus and gave his life. And that is true. But I've also reiterated one of the passages from Matthew chapter 25. He talked here, Tad had spoken about the president of a country going down and meeting his athletes. What will happen for us at the end of our event? When Jesus says what? "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Jesus will descend, and we will ascend to meet him in the air. We don't know exactly how all things will happen at the end, but that's one aspect we have. We have the idea that we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. But as to the faithful, he will say, "Well done, you good and faithful servants." So he came down to earth. We will ascend to heaven to meet him in the clouds, to be with him. But we will meet him, just as Tad had alluded to in seeing the past couple of weeks. So the idea of being faithful. You know, as we are faithful, and you are using the idea of being faithful, do you often think of the idea of being faithful at the very end? Do you think of that as one event at the end? Or do you think of it as a series of small events that happen on a daily basis? For me, the general idea becomes the ultimate being faithful to God at the end or till the end. But really, what happens is it happens on a daily basis. There are a lot of aspects for us to be faithful in. A lot of people we know, a lot of people who we are close to, and those we may not be close to, but there are aspects that we need to be faithful to other people too. And as we do this, just as Jesus said at one point, "How can you love your brother whom you've not seen? Excuse me, how can you say you love me whom you've not seen if you don't love your brother whom you have seen?" How can we be faithful to God in the biggest of things if we can't be faithful to each other and in the smaller things of life too? So as we begin our lesson, the first idea that I'll talk about is the idea of being faithful in the small things, or being faithful in the earthly things of life. And you know, that doesn't start when we're 20. That starts when we're young. If you're here today and you're at least 5 years old, you can learn to be faithful. For instance, let's take the lessons that five-year-olds, and younger too, but what are lessons that five-year-olds and young children learn about being faithful? Well, I'll mention three words before I say that. I'll mention three words that I consider, using Strong's concordance about being faithful, three words that were mentioned were trustworthy, reliable, and true. And so for the beginning of our lesson, that's kind of the simple definition that we'll go from. To be faithful is to be trustworthy, to be reliable, and to be true. As young children, are you trying as parents, and whether you're a parent, whether you're a young child, or whether we all deal and influence children's lives, are there things that you can teach your children? Are there things that you can do as children to be trustworthy, reliable, and true? Can you be trustworthy, reliable, and true to your parent, to your parents? Sure. Can you show that to your friends at school? Can you show that to teammates if you're a part of a team? That's really one aspect that you learn, the ideas of being trustworthy to your teammates and to yourself. If you join a team, you make a commitment to be a part of the team. When the going gets hard, you still do what? You still continue on. You're faithful no matter the cost. You're trustworthy. You're reliable. And you're true. Say when you get a pet. And you know, I would also back up to say there are certain words that I consider very important words that I tend not to use in other areas as much, like faith. Faith, I, in a sense, use in a very holy way, in a spiritual way. I'm hesitant to use the word faith in more common ways. But I think we can learn what the big important ways are by talking a little bit about the small ways too. So whether it's faith or faithful, I'm using it in some ways that I typically wouldn't, but I think I need to learn and to do that too. But where I was going a moment ago was, say your child gets a pet, and your child is responsible to make sure that pet is fed. And you're never going to feed the pet. Your child is always the one that's responsible to do it. How is that little puppy going to survive, or the small dog, or the big dog, whatever it is, how is it going to survive if you're the 5 or 6 year old, and if you're not going to go out and feed the dog or the cat or whatever your pet may be? He's relying on you, or she's relying on you. You need to be trustworthy in a lot of ways. And these are small ways in life that we can start to learn the idea of being faithful. Of being faithful to people around us, to be faithful to small things around us and big. So whether we're young, whether we're in our middle age or older years, we also are faithful in a lot of ways. As parents, we need to be faithful, we need to be trustworthy for our children and reliable, and we need to be true. As spouses, husbands and wives, there's faithfulness. There's aspects of being faithful in a variety of ways. As workers, co-workers, and so on. A lot of ways we can take. But also, I would suggest that all of us fall short in being faithful at times. So yes, we aspire to be fully faithful, truly faithful, 100% of the time. But there's probably no one here, as a matter of fact, I know there's no one here that has been fully faithful in all aspects of life all the way through. So yes, we need to be faithful, but we also need to recognize and appreciate God's forgiveness and the forgiveness of others when we fall short of full faithfulness too. So the first area we've talked about some is being faithful in the small things of life. Kind of remember this. Our overall topic is faithful no matter the cost. Our first step in getting there, though, is faithful in the small things of life. Our second step is to appreciate these three words. God is faithful. A very, very true statement that I've just made, not because I said it, because the Bible says it, God is faithful. And how can I learn and appreciate the idea of me being faithful till the end, no matter the cost, if I don't appreciate what it means for God to be faithful? And so secondly here, we are trying to establish and discuss the importance of God's faithfulness. I'm going to remind you of something from 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, the statement is made, "We love Him because He first loved us." I don't know anything about love, without the idea of God loving me. All aspects that I know about love and all aspects that I believe true love we find on this earth, you know, we can go to psychologists and we can go to psychology and self-help books, and there's value there. I'm not saying there's not. But truly, God's love for us helps us to understand all other aspects. We love Him because He first loved us. By the same token, I think we can take that statement and rearrange it. I believe it would still be true. This is not a statement that comes directly from the Bible, but I believe principles of the Bible lead to this. I am faithful to God because He first is faithful to me. I started to say was faithful to me, but I decided to change that to is. He is faithful to me, so I can be faithful to Him. Turn with me, if you will, to Deuteronomy chapter 7. There is one particular verse from Deuteronomy chapter 7 that I want to get to show what this type of faithfulness is. There's a passage of about six verses or so that I will read, but the idea especially is from one verse within this. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, here we find Moses, as I understand it, talking to people. He is talking to the children of Israel here. They've gathered together. This, as I understand it, is near the end of his life. The people who are here now probably never saw as the children of Israel left Egypt. They were probably not alive. As God led them across the Red Sea, these people who are now present, as Moses is speaking, were probably not alive. They didn't see all the things that God did for them. But here is Moses talking to them. And I also would share with you, while these verses relate directly to the children of Israel, consider them as far as us, as Christians today. I believe these words are also applicable to us. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6, and I will read through verse 12, and then we will come down and hit verse 9, come back to verse 9. That's the important part to make from this lesson, but all of this goes with it. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for Himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set His love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples. But because the Lord loves you and because He would keep the oath which He swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the house of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Therefore know that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love Him and keep His commandments. And He repays those who hate Him in their face to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack with them who hates Him. He will repay him to His face. Therefore you shall keep the commandment, the statutes, the judgments, which I command you today to observe them. Then it shall come to pass, because you listen to these judgments, and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep with you the covenant and the mercy which He swore to your fathers. Going back, and we'll get back to verse 9 in a minute. So again, these are words directly spoken to the children of Israel, and they relate directly to them. But I believe they also relate directly to us too. Yes, we are under a different covenant today, but we are still a chosen people, a special people to the Lord as Christians, and He still will keep His covenant, His promise, and His mercy toward us. Verse 9, going back there. Therefore know that the Lord your God, He is God and faithful, God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations. I use this passage because it establishes what it means when I say that God is faithful, or when the Bible says that God is faithful. God is faithful because He keeps what? He keeps covenant and He keeps mercy. He keeps His promises and His mercy continues to be extended to us. I'll use another word, grace. In other passages that relate to similar ideas, the word grace is mentioned. But God's grace continues to be extended to us. His mercy continues and He keeps His covenant, His promise to us as well. So to remember that God is faithful, that is the first idea to remember from it. And so, what is my motivation to be faithful to the end? My motivation to be faithful till the end is because I know that God will keep His promise. A couple of passages I'll also include. I'm not going to turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. It's a fairly short verse, but it establishes a good idea that we'll also find in the next verse. 2 Thessalonians 3, 3. The Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. If you want to, you may turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Here it's a little longer, verses 12 and 13, and it's the same idea. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has taken you except such as is common to man. But God is what? But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation will make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So taking these two verses together, what do we have? God's faithfulness helps to establish you and me in His Word, in His truth, and in life. As we follow Him, we are established. We've got a great basis to live our life from. Not only does He establish us, He guards us. He does protect us along the way. That doesn't mean that we won't be tempted. That doesn't mean we won't be tried with severe trials. But He will not allow us to be tempted above what we are able to bear. And so those are aspects of God's faithfulness too. And I'll include one more area of God's faithfulness briefly, and that is 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So God's faithfulness also extends to His forgiveness. His forgiveness, His protection, His establishment of us, and His keeping our promise. His promise, I should say. These are ways that He is faithful to us. So we've got that our faithfulness is shown in the small ways of life. God is faithful. The third area we'll briefly look at is connecting the idea to truth and faithfulness. I don't know if you've necessarily thought about the connection between being true and being faithful or not, but I appreciated it as I was studying this lesson and looking at some of the references that were made. For instance, the simple definition I've given so far is the idea to be faithful is to be trustworthy, reliable, and true. I'm going to mention a couple or maybe three passages. For the sake of time, I'm not actually going to turn to them, but I'm going to read them from two different versions. And this is what I appreciate in the connection I'm making at the moment. Because some places where one version will render the word true or truth, another version will render it as faithful. And I found it interesting, and I'll maybe discuss it in a moment why. But Psalm chapter 33, verse 4. Psalm 33, 4. New King James, the Word of God is right, and all His work is done in truth. NIV, the Word of the Lord is right and true, He is faithful in all He does. All His work is done in truth is one version. Another version, He is faithful in all He does. Here's another verse that I'll share with you. Psalm 51, 6. New King James, behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. NIV, you desired faithfulness even in the womb. So here's what I'm going to share with you kind of with that idea. God's desire, and again here, this is David speaking and he's talking about some of his sin. But God's desire for you from the very beginning is that you would abide in truth. God's desire for you from the very beginning is that you would be faithful. The NIV version, you desired faithfulness even in the womb. Even before you were born, God's desire for you is to be faithful. What I found interesting about this, and I'll share briefly with you, when I see the word true or I think of the word truth, often I've thought about truth as being something that's written, that's true, or something that is spoken, that's true. And I've certainly had the perspective or the understanding that it involved more than that, but that would be the main way I would think of it. But not only are we talking truth in terms of words, but truth is also in terms of deed. True. We live true. And you'll notice the definition that I've given along the way. I've said trustworthy. I've said reliable. And the third word I've always used along with this is true. Because both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, which were written in Hebrew and Greek, when they were translated, the same word would be translated in some passages as true and some passages as faithful. And so there's a strong connection, both in words and works, both in actions and words, You need to be, I'm sorry, let's go back to Dwayne's phrase. This is about me. I need to be faithful, which means I need to be true. Yes, true to my word, but more importantly, true to God's word. True to the right way. So to me, it's interesting connecting the idea of truth and faithfulness. I'll share one more passage with you along this idea in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. NIV, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them about your neck. Write them on the table of your heart. Both of them basically say that at the end. Bind them about your neck. Write them on the table of your heart. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Let not love and faithfulness leave you. So remember, going forward, the strong connection with being true and being faithful. There's several more things I can discuss, and I'll try to summarize these things and get them where we need to be. But to be faithful is also to be full of faith. And that only makes sense. If it's faithful, that means that we're full of faith. A couple of passages or ideas that we'll share briefly with you on this. Faith, I'm going to talk about faith in three ways for just a moment, and that is a believing faith, an abiding faith, and a saving faith. True faith is all of these. I'm not saying that we can necessarily distinguish between the two or three, but the idea is, in its very beginning stage, faith is a believing faith. Faith is also an abiding faith in the sense that from its instigation or from its beginning, there is an abiding faith. We abide in faith all the way through our life. And then there is also a finishing faith. A saving faith is what I've commented on it at the moment. We find in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, that Jesus is the author and what? Finisher of our faith. You know, as Ted was making his comments and I was thinking about my own lesson, there's lots of different ways to think of the author and finisher of our faith. But as Jesus came down to the earth to live among man, he became the author of our faith and of the gospel in that sense. Also, as we ascend to meet him in the end, he will be the finisher of our faith. That's one way we can think of it. You know, he's come to meet and greet us at the beginning, and he will certainly meet and greet us at the end as well. He is the author. He is the finisher of our faith. And we find in John chapter 15 that we need to abide in him. I am the true vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me, we abide in him. We have a beginning faith, a believing faith, an abiding faith, and a saving faith. Due to time, I'm kind of just making some brief points with that. But we'll also go to the idea of being faithful no matter the cost. So now we're looking more, and I started to say at the end, but not necessarily at the end of our life. We're talking about daily, again, all the way through our life, we are faithful no matter the cost. Let's talk about that a little bit. You know, I find it interesting that I'm giving this lesson while also in the midst of talking about some things on Wednesday night from Revelation chapters 12 and 13. If you go back and you think about some of the things we've talked briefly about last Wednesday night, the direction I'll go for a moment is, if you think about the cost of being faithful over the years that Christians have paid, in the beginning stages of the church, there was some major, major costs that Christians faced for remaining faithful. And when I say the beginning stages, I mean this happened for many, many years, as a matter of fact. We've lived in a time so far in our life that the cost hasn't been as much as at times. But if you go back, on Wednesday night, I had mentioned 10 periods of persecutions under the Roman government. We'd got up to about the point of 325 or so. We had talked about Constantine then. No longer were Christians persecuted because of the government, because he turned around and made the church the official church of Rome, if you will. But the Christians had faced great persecution at times due to the Roman government. Later on, there were times, many of you have heard of the Inquisition period. The Inquisitions set up by the church because certain people set up by, when I say the church that many saw as the church at the time, I believe the true church had fled to the wilderness as we find in Revelation chapter 12 that we talked about. But the church that was the big and the known church at the time was doing what? There were inquisitions. If someone was accused of heresy at all, there were trials, and the trial was basically not in your favor. If you were, you didn't have much of a chance to survive the trial. That's kind of where I'm going with that. So just to make a brief point with that, there was a lot of cost that many of these Christians faced. The cost of death. Faithful no matter the cost. Now, for many of us, as you grew up, whether you grew up in the 30s or the 40s or the 50s or the 60s or the 70s, and even the 80s and the 90s, and the zeros, and now we're in the tens. Being faithful, there's persecution we've suffered, there's challenges that we've suffered along the way, but it has been a lot different than we had before. Now, my question to you, or my thought to you, is the idea, as things continue to, I mean, Dwayne alluded earlier to changes that are going on in our society at this stage. I would see in the we'll say the 2020s, in the 2030s, and 2040s, and so on, there's going to be continuing a change, I believe, in the way that certain things are perceived, including the truth. I'm going to actually draw your attention to two passages to help with that. Turn, if you will, to 1 Samuel, and I'd like for all of you to turn here, if you will, because this helps to establish the point. And turn to both of these. They're very close to each other. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 35, and also back a couple of pages to the last verse of the book of Judges. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 35, I will look at first. 1 Samuel 2, 35. Then I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who will do according to what is in my heart and in my mind. I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before my anointed forever. I believe here we're actually talking about Samuel himself. That's my impression. I didn't go through and judge every single detail, but I believe here we're talking about Samuel being raised up to fulfill this. But the point I'm making with this is, how is this faithful priest going to walk and live? He's going to do according to what is in my heart and my mind. That's God's heart and mind. He's going to be following God's will. Flip back a couple of pages, if you will, to Judges chapter 21, verse 25, the last chapter of that book. In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And so, many, many years ago, the children of Israel themselves had kings at times. They had judges at times. And how did they often walk? They did what was right in their own eyes. If you fast forward to today and to our society, and I would suggest that, in general, over the years, men and women have always, to a degree, walked after what's right in their own eyes. But there's also been principles that have been established, and I think in this country in general, there have been the idea of following a standard. And the Bible has been a standard that to some degree or another, has been recognized as a true standard and one to follow. But I think if we were to consider these words, and I'm going to ask you a question. Do you think this could be a motto for our own time? Everyone does what is right in their own eyes. Whatever you think is right is okay for you. Who am I to judge what you do? That in general is the prevailing principle and philosophy. And it would seem that will probably continue to go forward. And so as we are faithful, no matter the cost, as opinions in society continue to change and evolve in a variety of ways and areas, there are things that there are costs that are going to be paid as we continue to stand for the truth and continue to follow the Lord. But we need to be faithful. We need to be faithful in the small things of everyday life and in earthly things. We need to appreciate the idea that God is faithful. And that's what allows me to hold to me being faithful to Him. We appreciate the idea of connecting truth and faithfulness as well. We need to be full of faith. And I appreciate Ben's song, the very first song he sung this morning. The title of it was Living by Faith. What is faith? Faith is something we do. Faith is something we live all the time. I appreciated the first line of his second song said, Living for Jesus, a life that is true. living for Jesus, a life that is true. Living by faith. So appreciate the idea that faithfulness is being trustworthy. It is being reliable and true. It's all of that. But it's also being faithful to God Himself. Being true. Living by faith. So many different areas to consider. But as we go forward this evening, as we depart from here, whether it's just now or whether it's later this afternoon, hopefully we take some of these ideas and determine within our own hearts and minds to continue to be convicted. For those who have been living in faith all the way and have been doing a good job, great. If we have fallen short, may we all be dedicated and determined to continue to improve and to live a life faithful, no matter the cost. If you're here this morning and you have needs to bring before us, we certainly invite you to come. Whether that means coming to the Lord in terms of becoming His child in the beginning stages to put on Jesus through baptism, we invite you to come and do that. Or if you have other needs to bring before us, please come as we stand and sing.